Welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Suman Butcher and I'm talking to Keith Khan, set and costume designer for the musical Wah Wah Girls.
Hello, Suman.
Hi. Keith, you have had an amazing career. You've been a director, artistic associate, designer. You know, some of your work has been site-specific shows like Coming of Age and Escapade. You've worked on the Commonwealth Games in Manchester. You've been involved in the Queen's Golden Jubilee. And now you're back in theatre. What's the attraction?
Well, I think it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work in a medium that I'm very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And coming away from working as a sort of bureaucrat for 4 years, both building Rich Mix, the cultural centre in East London, and working as the head of culture in the Olympic Games, I thought it was good to get my hands dirty again and go back to my primary skill, which is design and dealing with people, and Bollywood, of course, and working with Tanika Gupta, the writer, and Emma Rice, the director, was very easy to say yes to. And it's very exciting to get the opportunity to do it.
Okay, I mean, we're talking about Wah Wah Girls.
We are talking about Wah Wah Girls.
This musical that's running at the Peacock Theatre London. It's part of the World Stages London Festival.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't really get an opportunity to talk much from the design perspective on Theatre Voice. So it would be really great to hear what's the relationship of the designer with the director. I mean, how did you get involved in the show in the first instance?
Well, strangely, a lot of the creative team was in place before Emma Rice came on board. So Tanika Gupta was commissioned by Sadler's Wells and Theatre Royal Stratford East to construct a script. And very early on, I came on board as designer and Neeraj Chagg came on board as composer for the project.
Right.
So the three of us were very early involved in the creation or the thinking around a new piece of theatre based on Bollywood. So we spent about 6 to 8 months going through Tanika's script, talking about Bollywood, thinking about the impact of Bollywood on a 2012 audience, because I think all of us have got an experience of working with an Asian audience, but not one at this level or in this time period, because I think those opportunities are very different now.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working together on the whole project in the absence of Emma, who came on board as a co-producing partner quite late on in the day, probably last September.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Rice came on board as the director of the project, and obviously her background is popular theatre, which is what she creates with Knee High, and she had just completed a fabulous show at The Lyric.
The
Wild Bride at The Lyric and Hammersmith.
Okay.
Which was a great show. So Emma came on board, say in September,
mm-hmm.
and we both got the opportunity to travel to India together. So it was really interesting because obviously Emma had genned herself up very carefully on Bollywood, understood Bollywood from a perspective that you can get in the UK, but then actually going and spending time in Juhu, in the heart of the Bollywood industry in Mumbai, was fantastic. And we spent 7 days there together, meeting lots of people, seeing lots of things, experiencing a lot about Bollywood and talking a lot about the show. By which time, you know, the script was advanced and complete. I was in a position where I'm aware that Emma is a devising director and very spontaneous in the way that she creates. So in terms of my role, it was a very interesting one because I was between a sort of classical design, the way that someone like Tanika Gupta writes, and the way that Emma works, because she creates with actors in the studio without a script. So, interestingly, because she's a very, very visual director, the kind of anchoring of it in the sort of visual narrative was a very helpful process for her. And what we kind of created was a kit of parts that Emma could use in the delivery of the show. Alongside that, I've, you know, had a very strong steer from the producers. So you've got Theatre Royal Stratford East, whose interest is musical theatre, and you've also got Sadler's Wells, whose interest is dance. Mm. So they've actually got quite different sort of interests in terms of what they want to see. So it was quite interesting to actually pull together a design that was, I suppose, relevant and accessible for a British Asian audience or a universal audience, but also sort of tick the marks of all those different producing agencies, you know, in light of designing something that was adaptable for different spaces, was great for dance, but was also a fantastic storytelling device. So in a way, that was the sort of design brief, mm-hmm. as it was.
Okay, so, I mean, as an audience watching it, you first see this little terraced house in South London, or East London in this case, and I'm thinking, my God, have you been Google Earthing near my place? You know, ordinary looking terraced house, but it's like drapes or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Photographs painted
yeah.
on. I
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, talk
well,
us
they're,
just
they're
through.
Actually, well, I when I came back from India, I was obviously very full of India, and what I became very aware of was really trying to locate it in East London.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pounded the pavements in Stratford and Plaistow and went around photographing houses that I thought the different characters might live in. So I prepared a whole range of photographs of facades of houses and shops, and then shared those with Tanika and with Emma, going, you know, this is the house that I think, what do you think? These five houses look like the kind of place that Cal might live. These look like the kind of houses that Bindi... These are both characters in the play. So we sort of... I gave them a sort of selection of images that I believed would be the places that these characters would inhabit. The design itself is actually all digital.
Right.
And it's actually quite complex in the way it's been produced, because they look photographic, but they're actually vector prints on fabric. So that's why they're so vivid and of such high quality. So having chosen and selected the different locations that these characters might live in, I then developed the artwork and then showed the interior of the houses and sort of related them both back and front to the different floors of houses. Because for me, that the community that we're talking about here are likely to be middle to working class Indians that live in the Stratford area. So I really wanted to give it a sort of dose of authenticity without being literal, you know, whilst, you know, you could quote the type of house that they live in, it then transfers very quickly into an imaginative environment that suggests, you know, a fantasy world that they can step off into. So it was a sort of device that could be very adaptable on stage. So all of these cloths that you're describing are all gauzes. And some of the gauzes are transparent, but some of them have opaque panels that you can't see through, so that it really kind of enriched the way the architecture worked. Because I'm obsessed with architecture and space, but I'm also obsessed with kind of really depicting the social class that those characters come from. And that East End area is so fascinating at the moment, with Westfield and all the money that's being pumped into there. But then the acres and acres and acres of suburban housing that is around there. And you walk around and you notice, well, that house has clearly been owned by a Muslim family. Or that house is clearly owned by an Afro-Caribbean family. Because no matter what they do, there's a way they treat the front of their houses. There's a way that they, you know, put the gates up, put security up, paint the houses. All sorts of little indicators that are very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're from that world, they're very clear about, you know, what you're seeing.
So, I mean, just a bit about the plot. The plot is a story of a young girl, Sita, who runs away from her family in Leeds to join a Mujra club, which mm-hmm. is like those old-fashioned courtesan-type dancing clubs, which have got a modern interpretation in the context of contemporary UK. And that is run by a madam played by Sophia Huck,
yes.
called Soraya. So both these two characters have their own backstory. And when we see it on the stage, both of them have a different look. You know, Sita's is much more contemporary,
yes.
whereas Soraya's is much more Bollywood.
Yes, yes, yes.
Authentic Bollywood. I mean, again, you know, this is a question of different layers of identity of the protagonists. I don't know... As a designer, what's the conversation you have with the director in order to be able to see that on stage?
Well, when we were in India, we saw a lot of Bollywood and we experienced a lot of Bollywood. And I think what's different about the stuff that I've done in the past, because I have done a show called One Night, which was at Theatre Stratford East, that was based in exactly in a mudra with courtesans, but set in the 19th century, to now. And what's so fascinating is just the sheer cultural confidence of Bollywood and of India now, because it's a huge economic generator for India. You know, it's a huge industry, much bigger than it was, I think, even 10 years ago, because now it shows in China, it shows in North Africa, it shows in Africa, and of course in India and in the UK and Canada and many places in the world. But what was very clear for both Emma and myself in India was the sheer contemporariness of Bollywood. It's sort of draws from everything. There's a film called Ravan that has an Akon track in it. Kylie Minogue has just done a Bollywood movie. There's direct crossover with all sorts of different artists, all of whom want to break into the Indian industry. But what was very clear is that a lot of the image associated with that is not old-fashioned. They're very, very... alongside, I think, the growth of India as the film industry, you've also got the growth of the fashion industry. So now, I mean, Emma pulled out a clipping which was for Sita, which was from a newspaper, which was Karisma Kapoor.
Right.
And it was an image of her wearing a pair of torn-up jeans, a pair of jean shorts, and a little bra top. And she was like going, well, you know, this is India. And it's true, you know, that there's a real dichotomy between old India and contemporary India. And I think that's reflected very much in this piece, and I think it's very much reflected in the different communities that live in Britain now. I think you have a generation that does look backwards towards India of, you know, people that came here in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And then you have the generation of their children and their grandchildren, which are very much rooted in Britain or in India, and they have a very much more contemporary sense of themselves, which is reflected in the way they look. So I tried very hard to make sure that it was very clear about these different types of Indian women, that they were not all the same, and that Sita is the most contemporary and grungy of the Indian women, and Saraya is classical, but still modern. And then in the middle, you've got the shading of the other three Wawa girls, who vary between traditional Indian through to I don't care. And so we were just trying to give a palette of sort of Indian womanhood that reflected the different types of people that we see around us every day.
Yeah, apart from the design, you also did do the costumes for the particular show. So we've got the range. It's all modern, it's contemporary. I mean, but what do? Do you like go and buy ready-made clothes, or do you have somebody who stitches them? I mean, what's the practical, how does it
it's
work?
It's a combination. It's a combination. But I mean, when I took the job, I was very clear that I wanted to find a person to work with, who I work with, a wonderful wardrobe supervisor called Ed Parry. And as part of the brief, I said, well, they've got to be fearless with Indian stuff. I, you know how to drape a sari, know about lungis, know about Indian jewellery, but also are very happy to shop in Westfield Primark, because that to me is the sort of indicator of where everyone in that community goes to buy clothes from. And the design is split between a lot of very elaborate and bejewelled Indian costumes that are all makes, and a range of contemporary garments, which are a combination of makes and buys.
Yes,
so it's largely bought, and I did a whole heap of costume drawings that have that influence both the makes and the buys. So as a process, I do the drawings and find references. A lot of the contemporary costumes, we waited until the cast was in place, and I worked with the cast in terms of developing the characters. So, for example, Mansoor, who is the one of the main protagonists in the show, who's a Muslim shopkeeper, making sure that he was comfortable to wear the long shirt and the little, you know, ugly shoes at the bottom and the beard and all that kind of stuff. So it was a combination of both pre-preparation. So all the elaborate Indian scenes were designed well in advance, and we started making those immediately. Whereas the contemporary stuff, we bought a lot of stuff and we found a lot of stuff that was appropriate for the different character types. In the show, there are lot, as I said, I've described the Indian women, but they're also an Afro-Caribbean man called Cal and a Polish builder type is hilarious, called Pavel.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that all of those kind of reflect the same kind of cultural richness as the rest of the show.
I mean, do you have a colour palette that you think we're going to frame the show within this range?
Because,
I mean, we haven't talked about these young guys, people wearing hoodies who are symbolic of the pigeons of London.
That's right,
you know, I found that very interesting.
Well, we that was Emma. We were just like, who is neutral? And I had designed, in the design, there are lots of patterns in terms of wallpapers and costumes and prints, all of which I've developed digitally. And one of the ones I did very early on was of the Tottenham rioters. And in one of the scenes, the wallpaper is actually constructed of a pattern made from Tottenham rioters. And when Emma saw that, she was like going, oh, but that's the image of a Londoner. It is the image of a Londoner that you see in the East End. So we decided to make that character the neutral. The sort of, you know, when somebody wasn't a character, that they were in a neutral character, and that would be somebody in a grey hoodie. And yes, you're absolutely right. Every scene was worked out in terms of a colour palette or a tone or an atmosphere. So the classic one of those, we finished the show in what we've always called the blue sari scene, which was, we were really influenced on Juhu Beach, just watching the amazing abundance of people walking up and down the beach in very, very, very sparse light, as the sun was dark, in effect. But all of them were so beautifully bejeweled, and they had lots of sequins on their clothes, that they just kind of caught these speckles of light everywhere. Mm. So that became the sort of thing, like, that's how the show ends. And then we, you know, it's going to start with colour. So there's a very strong colour palette in terms of the costume that works all the way through the show, that's then also reflected in the set. So it was actually a great thing to do, both set and costumes.
And what is your relationship with the lighting designer, Malcolm?
Malcolm Ripeth.
Yeah.
Well, Malcolm was instrumental in terms of the choice of materials and how we would use it and how light would be integrated into the show.
Right.
Again, one of the other very design themes that we've taken, both from London and Mumbai, are trees. Both cities are strangely full of loads of trees, but in India, often they have fluorescent tubes, just straight white fluorescent tubes hanging from them for parties or just in hotels or just decorated anyway. So we took that image and we were kind of going, well, London has loads of trees, India has loads of trees, but the difference is the light. So we worked together on developing where light was part of the storytelling device. And a lot of the lighting is computer controlled and there's a lot of moving light. So a lot of it was Malcolm coming up with amazing, vibrant, clashy colour palettes that reflected and supported the range of the costume palette.
Okay, well, it looked very good, actually.
It was beautiful. And the main thing that we started with was a mirrored floor. One of the main challenges, which it probably isn't that clear, but that the whole floor of the stage is actually one big mirror.
Oh.
It's not a very you can't see your face in it. But, of course, for a lighting designer, you know, I had to work very closely because I gave him two things that are kind of impossible, which are all gauzes for the set and a large mirrored floor. Both of which are huge challenges for any lighting designer. So we had to collaborate on a lot of details of how we were going to support that, which is why we've got footlights, which spell Wawa, at the front of the stage, because to light the gauzes, we had to find a good source of front light. Mm. So rather than hiding it, you know, we integrated a lot of things like that into the design, so that there were a lot of collaboration points.
Okay, I think I missed that. I'll have to see that again.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. What about, like, in terms of the song sequences, especially the love song between the young couple, Sita and Kabir, when they're in trolleys, which are all garlanded with flowers and stuff like that? Again, do you have to think of a specific look for the musical numbers, or is it part of the overall look of the show?
Some of the musical numbers we obviously quoted directly from the films that they came from.
Well, that's because they were
direct
the older
quotes.
Character, and they were those set pieces, Bollywood songs, but some of the, for the younger couple, they were completely new.
To be clear, I mean, Niraj wrote all the contemporary songs, and all the Bollywood flashback sequences, all the Bollywood quotes are fabulous classic songs of different eras and different times.
Yeah.
With things like the shopping trolleys, a lot of that is also Emma Rice.
Right.
Because she's very, very visual. She knows how to push people around stage, make it very dynamic. So she was adamant very early on that there was a moment that was very clearly London, but Indianized. And I think, you know, that's where the pigeons have come from, that's where the garlands have come from. So there are elements that Emma has really developed in terms of thinking how to sort of pull the design forward for the show.
Okay. No, just interesting, you know, how do you compose an individual song moment within an overall design?
I think the big sequence that we've actually only got two. In the original script, I think there were three or four flashback sequences to India. I think in the end we ended up with two substantial sections that are based in India. And those, what I think we were trying to do is really go fully Indian on them, unashamedly Indian. And I was interested in the idea that they were bedecked beyond belief, that they've got jewellery in their hair, they've got jewellery in and on their ears, they've got jewellery around their necks, they've got on their hands, their costumes are all bejewelled and bright, fabulous colours. But the setting for those was actually quite plain, because in a way what we got to was the idea that India was a very stripped-down version of London. So we kept the very literal element in London with the houses and with the different locations that we were setting the story in. But when we progressed into the Bollywood flashbacks, that those were much more fantastical, but very, very simple, and that they would appeal to people's kind of memory of the songs. You know, there was enough musical association and enough costume association that people go, yes, that's that song from Parkeesa, and get it. And so it was a case of keeping
Dev Das.
Those...
I don't know if you used any Parkeesa ones.
We used Dev Das. We've used Mother Dala from Dev Das. That's exactly right,
something from...
Dil Cheese we used.
From Umrao Jam.
From Umrao Jam, yeah.
I think there was a question after the opening night of the show where somebody did ask, why didn't you use a
Parkeesa
song?
Parkeesa, I know.
Never mind.
Well, we obviously looked at the different versions of Dev Das because it's been made more than once.
And it's more contemporary.
And it's
in
more
that
contemporary,
sense.
Yes,
it's interesting because you're using these songs that are a mixture of, 70s to 2000 to tell a backstory of the older woman character in the play. But again, that's a bit of artistic license there
because
you can't interpret that literally, except that her. I guess her signature is more traditional Bollywood inverted commas rather than...
And there is another narrative, which is a dance narrative inside all of this, because I think the films that we're talking about here, some of those actresses were Kathak performers and leading Kathak performers and dancers. And likewise in the show, we've got a Kathak performer, which is a Kathak choreographer, Gauri.
Yes.
And we've also got a Bollywood choreographer, Javed. And I think that those combinations of skills also affected the choice of songs, because we wanted to showcase some great Kathak and we wanted to showcase some great Bollywood.
Well, I suppose, generally speaking, it will be good to ask you, like, from the show, what was the hardest thing for you to do? What was the most difficult element of it?
Strangely, the hardest thing should be the most fun thing, but it turned out to be really, really difficult, which was... this pigeon at the end, there's a big pigeon, because that came very, very late in the design, because obviously, like most things in life, a lot of it's governed by economics. So at one point, the design was much, much, much more pared down and was technically delivered, which was probably in not very many weeks ago. And we looked at it and we just thought, there's not enough Bollywood in this. So everything had been set and I had to then create inside that a massive three-dimensional pigeon that fits into basically 40 centimetres. So the pigeon itself is 6 metres wide, but it flies in. So it was a technical piece of design because it flies in 40 centimetres.
Well,
so it's
actually,
tiny.
That reminded me of your carnival work.
Yes, absolutely.
Your signature is kind of
it's fun.
There.
But everything's been digitally done. I mean, a lot of the... what is fantastic and what I've really enjoyed about the show is that everything that I produced on my computer is precisely how it ended up being printed or devised, even those massive backcloths.
So that must feel very satisfactory.
It's very satisfying because it's actually gone through no other processes. And it's fantastic to just see these wonderful, huge things that you've made on a screen and checked. And so that was one of the great joys of the show. But there's certainly the challenge of... pigeon, and also the sheer number of quick changes, because going through a story of that epic nature means that some characters have 20-second costume changes. So a lot of it is also very technical that you don't see in terms of trying to take decisions so it all looks great.
You alluded to this earlier. I mean, this show is, as I said, is on right now at the Peacock Theatre, and I know it will be on at Theatre Royal Stratford East later in the year, and perhaps even somewhere in Cornwall.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm assuming all the sizes of the stage spaces are different.
Yes, they are.
But the set and the look will...
It will remain the same.
Right,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
you've
yeah.
worked that one.
Oh, yes, that's all worked out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they kind of... It has been designed so it will absolutely fill the Stratford stage, whereas there's a lot more kind of air about the space at the Peacock Theatre as well.
Okay, well, Keith Khan, thank you very much
for talking to Theatre
Voice. Thank you, and good luck with the rest of the run.
thank you.